Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Elisa Cafferata of Planned Parenthood, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Lucas Folletta, Jesse Wadhams, and Trey Abney. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Elisa Cafferata. She's with Planned Parenthood. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thanks for having me.
So explain exactly what the Trump administration did as far as contraception last week.
So the existing rule was that religious employers with religious affiliation could decline to provide birth control in their insurance, but that the everybody else in the system, the insurance company, would have to cover that that service for women because it's basic health care. So the religious freedom is protected and women's health care is protected. The rule that the Trump administration put in place as an emergency, so it went into effect immediately, was that any employer with a religious objection or a moral objection could stop providing birth control coverage in your health insurance package. And there's no accommodations that are made to cover women's health care.
So the almost immediate response has been three states have sued to prevent this going forward. What's the status of this as we sit here taping this?
The rule, because it's an emergency, went into effect immediately. So it's going to take some time, I think, for the courts to decide whether to enjoin it or not. We haven't heard yet whether that's happened. So for millions of women, 64 million women, they stand to lose their health insurance or their birth control benefit under their health care.
Okay. And where do you get that number from, 64 million? That seems to be a high number by comparison with some of the news reports I've read.
That's the number that our Planned Parenthood and other women's health organizations have identified, that women who are covered under the new rules of the Affordable Care Act that says you have to cover women's preventive health services as part of the premium that women pay. You can't charge them extra copays, and birth control is included in that. So we think 64 million women are covered.
Now, there will still be the ability to buy contraception for these women, but you're looking at probably a cost of around $1,000 a year for them to do that.
Yes, and just, you know, my thing is, why is it always women's health care that we start with first? You could buy heart medication or cholesterol medication on your own too, but when you pay a health care premium, you expect it to cover basic health care, and birth control is basic health care for women.
And of course, there has been tremendous objection to this, you know, from the Hobby Lobby case that was at the Supreme Court to the Catholic Church. I mean, this is not being done in a vacuum, correct?
No, and this is a continuation of that story. And, you know, through the lawsuits that have gone all the way to the Supreme Court, we came to this accommodation where religious employers could choose not to provide the coverage as part of their insurance premiums. But again, the insurance companies would include that cost and pick it up so that women could have access to basic health care.
Where do you think this is going to go next? Do you think more states are going to join this suit? And where do you think the state of Nevada is going to be?
Very interesting question. I think we'll see a lot more states join the suit because this has been fundamental. You've seen the teen birth rate go down across the country. I mean, there have been huge benefits. 30% of all women at least use birth control for something other than family planning purposes.
Yeah, so, explain that if you would.
Birth control can also be used for polycystic ovarian syndrome and extreme menstrual cramps and bleeding. There's a lot of other health benefits that women get, and many women use it for purposes other than family planning, like I say. So it really is fundamental health care for women. So I think we'll see other states join the lawsuits. In Nevada, of course, we passed some laws to try and protect women no matter what Congress did. So there'll be some questions as to what the impact is in Nevada.
Oh, explain that.
Senator Julie Ratty and Teresa Benitez Thompson both submitted bills dealing with the protecting the women's health care that's in the Affordable Care Act. So even if the Affordable Care Act were repealed, we would be able to keep portions of the women's preventive health so that as part of your premium, that health care, mammograms and annual cancer screenings and birth control would be covered without additional copays. And we also extended it so women could get 12 months of birth control at a time, which is huge for students and people in the rurals and soldiers who travel. So we don't know what the implication is in Nevada. Would this governor or would this attorney general join in on the side of, you know, the Hobby Lobby folks who don't want to provide this benefit or on the side of women? So far, he hasn't stepped up on the side of women. So we'll see what he does.
What do you think the governor's position is going to be?
The governor signed several of these bills protecting women's health. So he has been a strong advocate for the protections and the increased coverage of the Affordable Care Act and the Medicaid expansion. He's certainly open to fixing some of the problems that there are, but his issue is coverage for Nevadans.
All right, let's take a break. More with Elisa Caparata when we come back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Elisa Caparata. She's with Planned Parenthood, and we're recording this as the news of three states suing the administration over them wanting to block women from getting contraceptives from businesses and organizations that have religious objections.
Or moral objections, which is a pretty broad category, and really what business is it of your boss, you know, what you're doing, why you're using birth control, if you're using it for, you know, endometriosis or planning your family. You know, part of what employers do to keep good employees is they provide health insurance coverage, and then they shouldn't be too picky about, you know, whether people use it for high blood pressure or planning their family. I mean, that's part of the package.
Actually, and ironically, there are a lot of medicines that were created for a certain purpose, and it actually was discovered down the road that they were actually very helpful in curing other illnesses. So there is reason to think about that.
Right.
What have you heard from Nevada's congressional delegation so far?
The tough thing is breaking through to the delegation because there's so much going on. Certainly Catherine Cortez Masto and Dina Titus have always been champions for women's health. Jackie Rosen has certainly been a champion for us. Mark Amaday, I will give him credit, has had his staff visiting our health centers and has really tried to figure out what is the mix of things happening and what services are available. He still buys the line that we could defund Planned Parenthood, which is in, you know, a dozen bills that are before Congress, because community health centers would pick up the slack. But just on the September 30th, Congress failed to pass a budget bill that, and so they've just cut community health center budgets by 70%. So you can't say on one hand, we're going to cut Planned Parenthood and folks are going to go to community health centers. Oh, but we're cutting their budgets 70% too. They also missed reauthorizing CHIP, which is children's health insurance, same day. So they really aren't focused on the nuts and bolts of actually making sure this health care is available. They did get around to passing a 20-week abortion ban, which is probably unconstitutional. That they could get together, but actually providing the health care, no.
And where is that going?
Well, that'll go to the Senate. It's unlikely that the Senate will pick it up because they seem to be a little more disciplined in the bills that they pick up and consider. But we still don't know how Congress is going to resolve this challenge of not passing CHIP and the community health center budgets.
Have you had a chance to speak with Dean Heller or his office and get his thoughts on this?
I haven't. I'm actually going to be in D.C. in a couple of weeks to do a lobby visit. I know all the community health organizations are also working on it.
Where has he stood in the past?
He has voted to defund Planned Parenthood. The latest repeal of the Affordable Care Act had huge cuts to Nevada specifically and our Medicaid program and some of the care that we got. And he sort of was listening to the people in the state until he stopped listening to the people of the state about what the real impact of some of these bills is going to be. So he's really torn between sort of his political future and taking votes for that and doing what's best for Nevada. And it's almost like he alternates between listening to the angel and the devil on his shoulders.
Have you spoken or heard comments from Danny Tarkanian on this particular issue?
I haven't heard specifically. He's very emphatically believes in defunding Planned Parenthood, doesn't really concern himself with where those 16,000, 18,000 patients that we see every year would go. It's really easy when you're not governing to just throw out these ideas. But the reality is we're desperately underserved in healthcare in this state. And we can't afford to get rid of any healthcare providers.
What percentage of Planned Parenthood's budget comes from the federal government versus what's donated?
So nationally, it's about a third of our budget is from federal sources. And we're just to clear up, you know, some misconceptions. We're just like any other healthcare provider. We don't get a check from the government. We provide a healthcare service, a pap smear or a cancer screening, STD test or treatment, and then we bill Medicaid generally or a Title X family planning grant, just like any other healthcare provider would. And in Nevada, we get very, very little. We have a few. One of our health centers takes Medicaid, but that's it. So it's a really small part of the budget in Nevada.
Okay. So what would be the net effect if that federal funding were to go away?
Well, those folks are the most most in need that are getting those Medicaid services. And it's an important part overall of the healthcare system and our health centers, keeping them healthy. So our health centers in Reno and Las Vegas are part of the larger systems that have more reliance on that money. So it's part of our long-term success.
What's your biggest concern with this administration?
Just sort of the unmitigated assault on everything, but in our particular case, healthcare at every level. So we're seeing these rules, every budget they pass zeroes out family planning. You know, the assaults on women's healthcare in particular are unrelenting.
And that's where we have to leave it. Elisa Cafferato, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Trey Abney is here, Director of Government Relations for the Chamber. Jesse Wadhams is off counsel for Fenimore Craig, and Lucas Valletta is an attorney with McDonald Carano. And Jesse, the battle is finally over. Caesars is coming out of bankruptcy after 2.5 years. This is pretty amazing. $10 billion worth of debt shed, but they still owe another $8 billion.
No, I think it's very good news for the just not only Caesars, but I think for Southern Nevada, for, you know, it gets that company back into refocusing on investments, maybe getting moving on some new projects, on updating and continuing their projects that they had mothballed during the bankruptcy. But I think overall, very good news for the state, for Southern Nevada in particular.
And it's interesting. I was moderating a conference in the Carson Valley last week and was listening to the marketing director for Harrah's and Harvey's for both Lake Tahoe and for Reno. And he was talking about reinvestment of the company in those properties, which is good news because they have been sadly lacking in reinvestment during this period and before that, too.
Well, that's great news. And frankly, that surprises me. I figured with all the bankruptcy stuff going on, if they had to shed some assets and shed some properties, the ones up north here, I think Bill Harrah would be rolling over in his grave, but the ones up north here would be the first to go. They obviously haven't invested a lot of money, certainly in their Reno property and their lake property. So that is great news. And you know, but our gaming numbers have been pretty flat up here. I mean, we have healthy growth as the economy grows and tourism starts to come back. But we're never going to be what we were. And thank God we've diversified a lot more than we ever have been. And we're going to have a different economy in Northern Nevada in the next 20 years than we had in the last 20. And that's good. But, I mean, every little bit helps. I'm glad those properties need investment. And you have to invest to keep people coming back to those properties. That's why you've seen, you know, the properties on the periphery like Peppermint Atlantis having to continue, and now the El Dorado properties having to continually put money in there to bring people back through the doors.
It'll be interesting to see if they make an announcement about the Rio, because the Rio has been subject of, you know, is it for sale, is it not for sale? Part of the problem has been that even during the bankruptcy, Caesars was asking, they had properties up for sale, but they were asking so much money for them, it didn't make sense. People who were going to come in were going to buy things at a bargain. So do you think the Rio is going to see reinvestment, or is it going to get moved out?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I hope it does see reinvestment. I mean, I agree with Trey's point and Jess's as well. But I mean, that whole industry thrives on the constant reinvention of each and every one of those properties and bringing people to them and pushing the needle. One property pushes the envelope, the other properties have to catch up. And so I hope that, you know, Caesars will hold on to Rio and put some more money into it. And then, you know, that will become part of, you know, the formula going forward.
And Trey, to your point, I would just slightly disagree and say that, you know, I mean, obviously there are a lot of properties that went out of business because they were not good properties and they deserve to go out of business, and now they're condominiums, and that's fine. But the other properties in town, I mean, the Nugget with the investment from Anthony Marnell is doing great. They just opened up a new sports book, and the convention center they put together
is gorgeous. GSR's putting a lot of money too.
GSR over $100 million so far. The Carano's putting in $50 million into the downtown properties, and that's already very obvious. So I think that the gaming side of it, like Las Vegas, will be a smaller percentage, but I think the entertainment factor is going to remain. I don't think that's going away. Period.
I completely agree. But again, that's, you know, most of these properties make more money off of their gaming floor than they do on now, right? And so they have to reinvent themselves. But it's just the basic, you know, you walk into some of these properties and they look dated. So forget about how much money they're getting from gaming or from if they have a show in their showroom. You know, the look and feel of it has to be more modern for the more modern, certainly the millennial traveler that doesn't just sit on the casino floor all day long either.
Yeah. The one thing I got out of that conference last week was, don't talk to me. Text me. Paul Anderson, Go Ed. Does that surprise you? Is that going to be a good fit? One would think so.
I do. I mean, I think, first of all, Paul Anderson has been one of the new great legislators. I think he has turned out to be a very solid, thoughtful legislator, and, you know, the likes of which, you know, over a course of a career, he could have kind of moved into that echelon of, say, a Raggio, a Dini, those sorts of guys. But I think Paul, Assemblyman Anderson has been a part of all of those economic development discussions, from Tesla to Faraday to Apple to all of the components of what GoEd is doing. So I think it's a great move, and hopefully he's there for the long term.
And it's also interesting, you know, from my position, that Paul Anderson has been somebody willing to come and talk to the media and sit down and talk about what's going on, rather than, you know, making a brief public pronouncement and then not sitting down for any interviews.
Yeah, and I think that's crucial. I mean, transparency at GoEd is vital. And I think Steve Hill has done a good job of talking to folks generally about what's happening. And a lot of times they can't talk. I mean, there's all sorts of NDAs that get put in place considering and so forth.
One understands that.
Yeah, but I think that his willingness to be open about what's happening in the state is important, because I think people need to know what's going on, because there's a lot of important things that are impacting their lives, you know, that are happening under the purview of that office. And I agree with Jesse that sort of temperamentally, I think Assemblyman Anderson is a great fit for the job and a great, you know, great person to follow. Steve, I just hope that there's room for him over the long term.
You know, the other thing is, you know, is this another thing with term limits where we see people not wanting to stay in the legislature for 24 years in two houses and never building up the stature of a Joe Dini or a Bill Raggio?
Well, I think any one of us who's been there, I think, can certainly say that I think that is true. I think term limits has functionally changed that building and the nature of how we do politics in this state. Now,
for better or worse,
I tend to think probably on balance to the worse, because you don't get those, you know, those relationships over the course of time.
For better or worse,
you know, I think it's been for better. For a young lobbyist who hasn't been around here for 30 years and can't make those relationships, you're kind of more on a level playing field with the guys that have been around a long time.
Better or worse, Lucas?
I think it's been a little better. I mean, the grass is always greener, but I think that Trey's right. There's a little more access, I think, to the process than there maybe was 15 or 20 years ago.
Okay, so this is a 50-50 split, because I'm with Jesse. That's where we got to leave it. Gentlemen, thank you very much. We'll be right back.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
On our next broadcast, Mark Poplawski and Eric Herzig, political science professors, for the whole show. We'll see you then.